let's pray again here. Father, we just look to you tonight. We thank you tonight. Hallelujah, that we have the privilege to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, knowing that our lives are hidden in Christ, that as Paul said, that we were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, but it's not really us and our life that we're living. It's now this new life we have in Christ, life that we live as your representatives, life that we live for you, for your purpose, for your call, for your assignments, not our lives that we were going to live, but your life. That's the life that we're now living. And Father, I pray for all of us that we'd have the courage to live your life and not be drawn and caught up into our old life, but that we'd have the courage to step out of that and embrace the life that you've given us now, a higher life. A higher life, a life of great purpose, a life that will have great fruit for the kingdom, but not necessarily a life that's great in man's eyes, but a life that's a life that matters for eternity. And Father, I pray for all of us that a revelation of that life would grow within us, that our eyes would be open, the eyes of our understanding would be flooded with life, that we with light, and that we might see what is that life that you've called us to. And what that looks like for each of us. And Father, then may we each find the courage to live that life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And to forsake the old man. Walk away and stay away from the old man. Hallelujah. Thank you for it. And Father, as we turn our attention to the Word tonight, I pray that you would speak to us the way that you do from the inside. That you would speak to each person in a way they can understand. That you would enlighten our understanding. That you would give us, Father, what we need tonight. Help us to see what we haven't seen and to hear what we haven't heard. And show us, Father, in these next few days, what is it, this next week, what is it that we need from you tonight? Show it to us. Speak to us. And may we have ears to hear and eyes to see. And may our hearts be open to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight I have a specific message for us. And it's a message I think that I hope it will encourage you, and it's something that's been on my heart for the last several days. You know, I've had a lot of times it seems like particularly my Wednesday night messages are impacted by what's going on in the world around me. It's what's going on with conversations and things that I see and hear and you know, I have had in the last few days people talk to me about challenges they're facing. Things that they see, things that they know in their heart they need to do, and they're finding it difficult. For example, one person was telling me about a conversation they know they need to have, a conversation they know, and it's in just the very idea of having this conversation is a challenge to them. And then another person, they've been dealing with a coworker, and the coworker's in failing health. The coworker's a younger woman, but she's been diagnosed with a debilitating chronic disease, MS, and it's affecting her, and so much so, just got word today that the coworker is going to have to go in the hospital. And the person that's talking to me about it is saying, you know I need to share gospel with her, but every time I've tried to broach that subject with her, I just get hit with resistance. I mean, she just is totally shuts down. But she's my friend, and I know that I have life that she needs, but I just keep meeting up with the resistance, and it's hard for me to just keep going back in when I foresee I'm gonna get this resistance from her. Y'all ever been there? And you know, it's like, not again. But yet you're so, you know, you feel so desperate for a person like that when you know that the Lord can be a help and the Lord can change the situation. The Lord can bring healing. But in a situation like that, it can be difficult. Surely I'm not the only one that's ever faced that. And but so just in a situation like that. And then I know I just spoke recently with someone that was just really had some things going on in their life that they needed to share with people, but just found it so difficult to open up because what are people going to think? Or just for whatever reason, just has never been easy to open up and share from the heart, but knows that that's what they have to do in order to walk the pathway to healing that God has for them, but just finding it so difficult to open up to people. And then, you know, just again, someone else I talked to, and they're facing a new assignment, something that God's called them to. It's a new assignment, but it's scary, and it's a lot bigger than they are. And they just are like looking at it going, I don't know about that. It's just like, oh my goodness. I know I need to do it. I know it'll be good for me, but I'm really scared, and that's causing me to hesitate. And then, you know, there's that conversation or that situation sometimes where there's a boundary issue and somebody's been really encroaching on your boundaries. And you know that for your sake and their sake, you're going to have to you're going to have to deal with it. But you don't really want to, and you're not that comfortable with it. Am I the only person ever been there? And so there's that situation, and just that you just hope it'll get better. You know, I remember talking to a minister friend of mine one time, and she was dealing with some leadership issues in her organization, and there was just somebody in the organization was just making a big mess, and she, as the leader, needed to deal with it, and it was boundary issues. Boy, this person was just running through the organization, making a big mess, but the leader didn't want to have to deal with it. And so she called me one day, and this is what she said. She said, "Will you pray with me about this situation?" And I'm like, okay, I can pray with you. She said, this is what I want to pray. I want to pray that this woman that's causing all the trouble in my organization, that her husband will get a job in another city and she'll have to move. And I remember, I just laughed. I'm like, how is that what we're supposed to be praying? I mean, that sounds like a great idea. But, you know, the reality is that there are responsibilities that all of us have in our lives. And we have to exercise authority that comes with that responsibility. And we have to take, you know, it's like if your kid ran out in the street, your little toddler runs out in the street, you don't stand on the side of the road and pray, God, you know, send them back to the side of the road. No, you run and get the kid and bring him back, don't you? You better. And when you're a leader or a person with responsibility, there's things you have to do. Whether you want to do them or not, you do them because that's what you're supposed to do. It's because you've been given charge by God with the responsibility you have. You need to do it. Well, same thing in this situation that this woman was talking about in her organization. She's just, instead of dealing with the woman, which is what she needed to do, she's going to pray that God. That's like ridiculous. But I mean, we've all been there. We've all come up with these great schemes. If only God would do this, then that would get me off the hook. I don't have to deal with it. But no, that's not how God works. You have to deal with it, but God helps you to deal with it, right? But all of those things that I just described, and even a lot more than those, all of those require something of us that we're not always really comfortable with. And it requires us to have courage. And I just want to talk to you for the next few minutes about courage. Because you and me need courage. Several weeks ago, Matt shared a message and he talked again. I don't like it when he reads the scripture from Corinthians, where Paul talked about how this big door of opportunity had opened. And there in the middle of the door, what did he find? But an adversary. I hate that. I love the part about the opportunity, but I hate the part about the adversaries. Am I the only one? And so I love the part that we're going to have opportunities. Don't you like that? That God gives you opportunities? And we know that from the scripture. God gives you opportunities. He gives you favor. He opens up things to you, but there is an enemy. And the enemy is, and any time that God's doing something, the enemy, he gets in a hullabaloo and he's got to like, how can I shut this down? And he brings opposition against you. And so the reality is there might be a great big wide glorious door open, but if there's a fierce adversary standing in that door, you might not go through the door. But courage will get you through the door. And we are told in the scripture to have courage again and again. And I just was what is courage? So I just did a little study on what courage means, and so I found something interesting. Here's some of the definitions of the word courage. It's the state or the quality of mind or the spirit that enables one to face danger or fear with self-possession, confidence, and resolution. Another word, you know, a synonym is bravery. And then it's the mental strength or the moral strength to venture and to persevere and to withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. So those are a couple definitions I saw. But then I started finding these definitions that used a particular word I found was interesting. And here's one. It says, the ability to do something that frightens one. And then another one said, the ability to do something that you know is difficult or dangerous. And another one said, the ability to confront pain, fear, humiliation, or anything else a person would naturally stay away from. So I found a series of definitions that use this word ability. And I had never thought of courage as being an ability. So that was interesting. Because courage is the ability to confront something you don't want to confront. It's the ability to do something that you're afraid to do. Courage is an ability. And that's interesting because an ability is something you can acquire. An ability is something that you can, if you don't have an ability, oftentimes you can like study and figure out, or you can, you know, do it enough to acquire an ability. We have four kids, and all four of our kids, some better than others, but all four of our kids have the ability to drive a car. But there was a time that none of them had the ability to drive a car. But through careful practice and a lot of, you know, mama screaming, stop! And that, you know, that right-hand seat brake that doesn't exist that you hit all the time. Surely I'm not the only mother that just almost wore out the right-hand floorboard just from trying to hit the floor there. Well, your day's coming. Oh, my goodness. But they eventually acquired the ability to drive. And, you know, you can acquire some abilities, even though you don't have the ability. Maybe you can, the good thing to know about courage is even though there's times you don't have the ability, you can get the ability. And an ability has that little part of it that makes you able. An ability means you're able. And I'm so glad that God makes us able. And, you know, the word grace that we use so freely is really God's ability coming on us, coming in us, coming to us. When we really, that's by grace we're saved. We didn't have the ability to save ourselves, and God gave us the ability. He enabled us to be saved. And so that's grace. And God enables us to do things. So really, there's a grace to be to be courageous. Grace will come on you, and it will enable you to do something that you in yourself, you know, can't do. Like to face something that's frightening or to do something that's very difficult. And that's what courage is. It's the ability to do the difficult thing, the thing that's, you know, that you might dread doing. Am I the only one that's ever had to do something you dreaded doing? My goodness. But there's this something that can come on you. And I just want to talk tonight about some things that I've discovered that help you in this process of being courageous. Because it's good to, you know, for us to all think, well, God's just going to make everything easy for me. But I haven't found that to be true. I've had to do a lot of things that were difficult. I've had to do a lot of things that I thought were scary. I've had to do things I didn't really want to do. I've had to have courage at times. And we'll talk maybe about some of those things here tonight, that even as a church, we've had to do some things that were risky, that I was uneasy with in some ways, but I knew in my heart it was the thing I had to do. And so I had to have courage. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to follow God, you're going to have courage. He's always calling us to have courage. And really, if you read about the people in the Bible that walked with God, that followed God, that fulfilled God's plans for them, they were people who had to embrace courage at one point or another. Isn't that right? And there's not one of us here tonight that gets to say, well, you know me, I'm kind of a scaredy cat. Well, that may be true. You might be a scaredy cat, but you can acquire the ability. You can be courageous. There's nobody that gets off the hook. I just love it in church how people think. People love this idea. I think that's why people really have gone for the notion that the preacher is supposed to do all the spiritual activity. The preacher is supposed to do the saving and the healing. The preacher is supposed to do all the work. I think people like that because it gets them off the hook. Because in general, people just want to be off the hook. I mean, we've had meetings where we talk about, I remember early on in the church, this used to happen frequently. We'd have a meeting and we'd talk about all these things in the church, and people had all these ideas and they had all this stuff, and we could do this and we could do that. And Matt would say, great, we can do all of that. Who wants to lead this? And people would be like this. And he'd say, okay, no takers in that. All right, who wants to lead this? And then they'd be like, you know, and every time he'd offer to be leading, they'd get lower and lower in the seats. Because the reality is, nobody wants to lead anything. Because leading is that means you're like a step in front and you're just in better shot for everybody, you know, better view for to be shot at. Nobody wants to do that. People just want to avoid any kind of hassle, anything where they might, you know, stick out in any way. They don't want to be uncomfortable. Who wants to volunteer to be uncomfortable? Nobody wants that, except we don't get to avoid discomfort. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Jesus said to take up your cross and follow me. That doesn't sound comfortable. He didn't say get your lawn chair and come sit out here and watch me do the stuff. That's not what he said. He said, you get here with me. You're going to do, you're following me to learn to do what I did. Because you're going to do it. Because I'm going to the Father. Holy Spirit's going to come on you and you're going to be doing what I've been doing. So you get out here and do it. It's the deal. Now there's a classic, in my mind, a classic passage in the scripture that talks about courage, and just in looking back over it, I think I just want to share some things with you. And it's the story of Joshua that's, to me, kind of the famous passage where the Lord spoke to Joshua and told him to be strong and very courageous. And just, you know, quick synopsis, Moses, he was the deliverer, led the children of Israel out of Egypt. They came out of Egypt. The spies went into the promised land. They came back, 10 of them with an evil report, 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, had a good report, but because, you know, majority rules, the people went with the bad report, the evil report, and they didn't get to go in the promised land. And for 40 years, the Bible says, they wandered in the wilderness. Until that whole generation of people, the people who didn't believe God, the people who believed the evil report, until they died off, they just wandered around in the wilderness. So that's what happened to them. And then the day came, and we find this in the first chapter of the book of Joshua, and God says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. And there, I've preached several messages. In fact, I think that I preached that message, at least outside of our church, probably more than any other. Moses, my servant, is dead. There's just like a whole lot of revelation there that everything that used to be, it's gone. And the people you used to could depend on, they're gone. And now it's your turn. And here it is. Everybody you were hiding behind, they're done. They're dead. They're gone. And here it is for you. Now get up here and be strong and very courageous. Because now I got an assignment for you. And it was an assignment that Moses himself couldn't complete. So we'll just take up. So you know what happened. And so let's just take up in verse 6 of Joshua chapter 1. And this is where the Lord's kind of is giving Joshua this assignment. And he says to him, be strong and of good courage. And you know, again, we read scriptures in the Bible and we think, oh yeah, that was Joshua and Moses. I know this story, Pastor Susie. I've learned this. I've heard you preach about it. I know about this. But we're not talking about that tonight. We're talking about you. And we're talking about what God is dealing with you about. And we're talking about the situations you're facing. And we're talking about your life. So don't just let this tonight be about Joshua. What about you? Be strong and of good courage. And then he goes on to say, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. That's always a warning when the Lord tells you to be strong and courageous. This might be a warning for you tonight. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Here he is. He's getting an assignment from God. And the first thing God says to him is you're going to need to be strong and you're going to need to be courageous. Now, in the natural sense, because this is an ability. And some people just in the natural seem to be, you know, take God out of the equation. There are people that in the natural seem at times to have courage. And people that seem to, you know, be risk takers and step out and do things. And I wonder sometimes, what is it that just even gives people natural courage? And there's a lot of things, but one of the things that I've seen with people, and this is just in general with people, people will sometimes surprise you and do things. They'll just step out and take action, and you didn't expect that from them. But one thing I've seen is this, that when the pain of inaction, see, the reason we don't want to take action is because we look at it and we're afraid. But when the pain of inaction gets bigger than the pain that you foresee, suddenly there'll be a shift. See, here you've been, and you've been, I mean, it's painful to be where you are. You know, there's a discomfort in not dealing with issues. Am I the only one that's ever experienced those? There's a discomfort in it. But a lot of times we can just really wallow in our discomfort, you know, until though it gets to be a point where there's so much discomfort, there's so much pain in the place we're in, that it overwhelms and becomes bigger than the pain that we see that we may have to endure by taking action. And it'll compel us into action. And you see that sometimes with people. You see people make just big alterations in their lives at times because they find courage, and it's just because they get fed up. That's one way of putting it. They just get so fed up where they are. Something about where they are just, it tilts. And in that moment, then they find courage to go forward. So I've definitely seen that. I've experienced it. So that's one thing. And, you know, I think about Joshua and the children of Israel. They were there in the wilderness under Moses' leadership for 40 years. There was 40 years of inaction. 40 years. We talked about this earlier this year when we talked about Catalyst to Change. Have any of you ever felt stuck in your life? And I think all of us at one point or another, we feel stuck. Well, I'm going to tell you, these people were a portrait of being stuck. They were wandering in the wilderness, going nowhere for 40 years. And it's interesting, they weren't camping in the wilderness. They were wandering in the wilderness. And the Bible tells us the way that they went from place to place is the pillar of cloud. There was a pillar of fire that would keep them warm and keep the stray animals away at night. It was the Spirit of God would abide there, and that would give them light at night. And it was like a beacon, and they followed it. And then during the day, there was a cloud that would cover them. And wherever that cloud went or wherever that pillar of fire went, that's where they'd go. So they were wandering from place to place. They didn't just camp. They were actually moving. But it was a movement just like the little hamster wheel. It was a movement that went nowhere. They just kept going in circles. But it was God who was moving the cloud and the pillar. And I think one reason that he was doing that he was moving it, was so they would get frustrated. Do any of y'all remember the program MASH? Okay, some people. Wesley's a huge MASH fan. You seen all the episodes? Okay. Y'all remember? Do you remember MASH? You do? Yeah, okay. He lived it. And the thing, because, you know, MASH, you were just so accustomed to the 407 Seventh and the way it would come on, and you saw, you know, they'd use little rocks to outline things on. Jesse, do you know about MASH? You ever seen it? Okay. But you would forget sometimes that MASH stood for a Mobile Army Surgical Hospital. And so every once in a while in one of their episodes, they would have to do what they called bug out. Y'all remember this? And then bugging out, everybody had an assignment. They'd pack everything up and they'd move somewhere because there was, you know, incoming or whatever was going on there. Maybe the front would move and get too close to them and they'd have to move. Whatever it was, they'd have to bug out. So, you know, for episode after episode, they had their shenanigans going on and they were all comfortable, but then they'd have to bug out. And it would just everything would be in a mess, and it'd take them a while to get it down and get it all ordered up again. And they'd get their still set up over at Hawkeye's tent. They'd get it all back together. And then another episode come up, then they'd have to bug out again. Well, you know, if you never have to bug out, you can get comfortable somewhere. But if at any moment you're going to have to bug out, you can't ever really settle in and get comfortable. And I think that's what was going on with the pillar and with the cloud, is God didn't want them to get comfortable in the wilderness. He would move so they would have to move, so they wouldn't ever get comfortable in the wilderness, so they could never really make it home. Because they'd keep moving. And it was designed to frustrate them. Because God didn't want them to settle in the wilderness. So He had to keep them mobile. He had to keep them moving. Because if they ever really settled, they would never have gone. He didn't call them to the wilderness. He called them to the promised land. He didn't call them to the wilderness. So He had to push them over. But the promised land was a scary place because they had heard there were giants over there. And so they didn't want to go over there, but they're going to stay here in the wilderness. It's not so good. There were times in the wilderness they thought, hey, why don't we go back to Egypt? But, you know, they could probably have made their home there in the wilderness, but it was not the place God had called them to. But that's, you know, for a lot of us, that's where our lives are. We just sort of make our home in the middle of the mess, less than what God's called us to. We're not really in God's will for us, but, you know, we've moved out of Egypt. God, isn't that enough for you? I mean, every now and then we think of going back. We're going to get us a leader and get him to lead us back. But God, He really wants you to go in the promised land. He wants you to fulfill, to know and fulfill. The Bible says that God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants you to follow on to know the Lord and to fulfill what He's called you to do, to be who He's made you to be. That's His will for you. He doesn't sit around and just really get excited about you being in the wilderness. So the wilderness is a place of discomfort, but sometimes in our lives, all of us have had that. The discomfort of it will just come up until I'm going to do something. My mama tells a story. We won't take time now, but the punchline of the story is shoot up here amongst us. You know the story? Somebody's got to have some relief. I think it was a man and a bear in a tree. Have you heard the story? Jerry Clower? Okay, well then see Sean later. It's a great story. Him or my mom, and they can tell you the story. But the basic, so my mom says that. That's like a saying, and I know what it means. Shoot up here amongst us. She'll just walk through and say that. She has all these one-liners. She walks through and says, shoot up here amongst us. I should have put that in your Mother's Day card. Shoot up here amongst us. That just means we've got to have some relief. Either I'm going to die or the bear's going to die, but we've got to have some relief. And that's kind of where sometimes we are. But it's crazy. You can find great courage at moments like that. And that's where the children of Israel were. They were wandering. And I see here there's 40 years of them wandering and, you know, just about to get comfortable. They just, you know, you finally get kind of, you get your bed situated just the way you wanted it. And no, we got to bug out. The cloud moved. And now you got to go, and where are we going to do? And I just had it worked out. You know, I got to know where to take the shovel, and I know which bush I'm going to get behind. But no, we got to bug out. I got to find me a new bush. And you know, just all the things, you just think about that in your life. If you just had to pick up and move every few days and just be gone, it'd be uncomfortable, wouldn't it? And that was what was happening. And so I think Joshua, all that time, he had been looking at that, and they were wandering and everything. And at some point, I think all of that, because not all of them had wandered for, like Eddie said earlier, they died out, that whole generation. But Joshua had been in on that wandering for 40 years. And so I think that one thing could compel him to be more courageous than he was 40 years before. And so, you know, there's that side of all of us. But there's another thing, too, that we do, because we're not just islands unto ourselves. We also have people in our lives that are wandering. They're not where God has called them to be. They're not living the life God has for them. And we see them, and we get frustrated for them. But some of us are really good at helping other people avoid the consequences of the choices that they've made. And so we, you know, here comes a consequence that's coming at them. And, you know, like we jump in between them and the consequence, you know, because we love them. And we, you know. And then what we're doing, though, is, I'm freaking freak out. Rhonda's coming home soon. I know. Me and you have missed Rhonda. Okay. Well, and so we jump in between, you know, the consequence of them. And we, you know, really what we're doing is, instead of letting the wandering bring the courage that they need to make the changes bring the courage that they need to go forward in their lives, to bring the courage that they need to go step into God's plan for them. We are a big part of their problem. So that's just a little side note I thought I'd bring up. Okay. But, you know, when you're in that period of discomfort, which we all have been in and are in perpetually usually, we do everything that we can to deal with the discomfort so we don't have to deal with what it is we're so afraid of. And that's where all these issues in our lives come from. Instead, we could just be courageous. But no, we just want to deal that. Okay. Let's go back to verse 5. We didn't read verse 5. We started in verse 6. But Joshua 1:5 says this, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." And at the end of, I think it's verse 9, he said, "Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And so, if they were here, we'd have to have numbers. The first factor in you getting the ability to face what frightens you, the first thing that will enable you is knowing that God is with you. And I know that sounds so like elementary and almost like, why would you even tell us that? But that is so powerful. And we forget it. Just like Kristen was reading tonight, Matthew 6. We know about the birds and we know about the flowers and we know God's going to take care of us. But we worry anyway. Well, in the same way, we know God is with us. Of course He's with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. How dare you even insinuate that I don't know that. But yet, we don't have courage. But the reason that God said to him to be courageous is because I'm with you. And if you just stop and think about that, God is with me. God is with me. And then that just brings up all the scriptures about the greater one is within us. God is on our side. If God be for me, who can be against me? See, there's so much in the scripture about this because God knew we would need it. Because He knew we needed courage. So God is with us. So there's not anything you're going to face. There's not any discussion you're going to have. There's not any, venture you're going to start out on. There's nothing that you're going to, there's no hospital room that you're going to walk into that God is not with you. He's with you. God is with you. And I just want to remind you that there was a time when Jesus was here in the flesh and those guys had it really good because it was Jesus and He was there in the boat with them and He could calm the wind and the wave. But that guy, Jesus, said to us it was better for us for Him to go away because what we would get would be even better than that. And what is it we get? God is with us. The same God that was with Him is with you. So that should give you the ability to face something that's really frightening. For God is with you. And it might just simply be you just saying to yourself, well, God is with me. And I don't want to talk to this person, but God is with me. God's going to be there when I talk to Him. God's going to help me. God's working in this. God is with me. God is with me. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to shove me in the door and step out in the hall. He's with me. And that's just huge. Huge for you and me. That we just know God is with us. Knowing He's with us, that gives us courage. And it, you know, that's it. And then the second thing that I found that enables me and I think would help all of us to face what we, you know, would rather not face is this. And I think Henry Cloud uses this phrase. I remember this from a book. I think it's the books we give the graduates, but I remember reading this. And he just used this phrase, play the movie. Play the movie. And here's the idea, is that here I am today in my life and this is my life. There's a future out there. The future, we sometimes think the future is random, but the future is actually not random. Like I can say, you know, there are a lot of things about the future that are pretty much set. For example, for me, I'm almost 50 years old. I'm not, the four kids that I have, those are the four kids I'm going to always have. I'm not going to like bear more children. I'm done with that. Matt, I'm done with that. No, I am. I'm done. And so, you know, the future is not completely random. Do you understand? So there's kind of a future out there. Now, there's some leeway in the future, but there is, you know, there are some parameters on our future. But I can look at what's going on in my life and the circumstances and the actions and the decisions and where I am. And there is a natural progression from this. And playing the movie is just taking where I have been going and keep it going. So if I keep doing what I'm doing now, that's playing the movie. If I keep doing what I'm doing, I stay with these circumstances, I keep saying what I'm saying, living like I'm living, doing the same things I've been doing, there's a natural progression, right? And so playing the movie is just taking it out. And unless something comes and changes my position or what I'm saying or what I'm doing or how I'm living, unless there's a change in that. And we often think, you know, God's just randomly going to change it. No, it's shocking how little God actually does in our lives. It really is. It's shocking how much He comes down from heaven and shakes up our lives. He just doesn't do that very often. Hardly like ever. I mean, there was that road to Damascus experience with Paul, but I don't even think most of us have had that. Most of the time, He just deals with us and tells us to make the changes. And He strengthens us and enables us to make the changes. Have you noticed that in your life? Now tell me, Al, I know you got the beautiful woman. She agreed to be your bride. Did God come down and make Christina decide one day, I'm going to be your wife? Did you have a part? You did? I think I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave that alone. You don't just wake up one day married. There's a progression there, brother. We'll talk later. This is when Al just slides down to his seat. He's going, I knew I shouldn't have come tonight. No, you're on it, playing the movie, you're on a progression. There's a future out there. For all of us, there's a future out there. Do you like what your movie is? Because if you don't like the movie, you might need to make some changes. But playing the movie will give you the courage to make some changes. Because if you don't like the movie, you know, like right now, I'm not that uncomfortable. But if this keeps going and going and going, well, I really don't want that. So that, because I don't want that, will make me right back here do something. I'll go ahead and change it here because I don't want that over there. You understand what I'm saying? It's like the guy who's in the dead-end job. You know, I mean, it's one thing to make minimum wage when you're, you know, 17. But when you're 42, that's not the movie you want to be the movie of your life. So what are you going to do? Because you keep just staying in the dead-end job, what are you going to do? You see what I mean? There's a lot of things in life that are like that. Well, you know, I don't want to have to make the changes. I don't want to have to study. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to have to learn a new trade. I don't want to have to do all that. It's just great how it is now. I wish I made more money. But the reality is it might not be that uncomfortable here. But play the movie. And the end where the movie's leading you, that might give you some courage to make some changes today of some things you don't maybe want to do. So play the movie. I need some water. Okay. Yeah, we had a situation. We started our church in 1995 on Wrightsboro Road. And we started in a rented space. It was a small, little, tiny gray building. And we started, and then the church, we started growing, and we moved down the sidewalk, and we did all these things. It's one day, we should tell you the story if you don't know the story. It's a really funny story. There was one wall we built and tore it down, built it, tore it down, built it again. I mean, that one wall, I don't know what our fascination was with that one spot having a wall or not, but we kept building it and tearing it down. And so this was what we're doing. But every month we're writing a check to a property company and we're renting space. This is going on. We started the church in 95. It's 97, 99. Somewhere in there you're starting to think, should I just keep doing this? Does this really make sense? Because if you play the movie, in 25 years, am I still going to be writing this check to this property company? And so then, you know, you just start getting more and more uncomfortable about it, and God's dealing with you. But then you think, well, what are we going to do? Buy a building? Well, that seemed really scary. There were a lot of reasons it seemed scary, one of which was we had no money. That seemed scary. Another reason is nobody wants to loan money to an independent church that's not affiliated with the denomination, that doesn't have a bunch of rich people in the church. So then what are you, you know, where are you going to get the money? And there's just all these obstacles. So it was really scary. And so we went through a lot of things. And then one night, Matt and I had dinner with a guy from Atlanta that we didn't know. He had come down to see us about something, and we're just talking to him. And in the middle of our conversation, and we're telling him that we want to get a building. We want a permanent home for the Good News Church. We want to move to a permanent home. And he looked at us and he said, you know, I'm just going to put this out here. I don't think that your next step is into your permanent home. He said, I think there's an interim step. And when he said that, it just hit me, and it hit Matt, but we didn't really like it. And I remember we left the restaurant, we got in the car, and Matt's like, did you hear what he said? He doesn't think we're going to move right to a, you know, like buy a building. And then, what you think is, well, my God's bigger than that. Then you, but I knew on the inside the guy was right. But I didn't like it, so I'm, you know, well, what does he know? And he don't know my God, and, you know, and then, but all that was really not faith. It was just because I didn't want to take the interim step, which is what we actually did do in 2003 when we did something really weird. This is not what churches do. We had a building and we left our building to go to a temporary situation where we met in a school for 2 years where we would set up and tear down and set up and tear down and set up and tear down and set up and tear down. We thought we could, that's what we were learning with the wall. Now we're doing it every service. And, you know, and it was frustrating when you're going from a permanent, you know, from a place where you go in anytime, you got offices. We have to go everything, the cribs for the babies, hauling them down the ramp on the truck, hauling them in. They're full of all the stuff they need. I mean, anything. You got to bring it in and set it up. Some of y'all were there then. It was crazy. It was a lot of stuff went on. Just trying to get the mics to work because you got to set up the sound system every time. And you'd want to go back to Egypt, you know? No, you'd want to, you'd be like, why don't we go back and write those really big checks every month to the property company? But here we are, and we were there for 2 years, and it was tough, especially because we didn't know where we were going. All we knew is the Lord told us to go west, but he didn't give us anything else. And so we just spent a lot of time, just seemed like just wasting time, but we had to have courage during that time. It took a lot of courage for us to leave our building behind and to just go and start meeting in the school. It did. But if we didn't do that, we wouldn't be here. So it was a risk, and we had to have courage, and we had to have great strength, some actual physical strength. But we did it. But I'm just telling you, we all like to tell God how to do it, but actually God has a plan. We need to be courageous and follow His plan. But now, God, I can tell you what to do. Well, He's not really listening to you. Tell Him what to do. He's telling you what to do, and it'll work. God, you could just give me a job. Oh, you could, I know you, God. You could give me a job making three times what I make now. Well, why don't you study? Well, God, I know you a big God. Well, why don't you do this thing over here? But God, I mean, I'm like that too, y'all. We all are. All right, let's go along. So that, I mean, it's true though, isn't it? It's true. We all want that, but are we going to have the courage to do the difficult things? We've got to have courage to do the difficult things. We've got to have the ability to face the scary things or the dangerous things. You know, talking about playing the movie, we know in natural circumstances people will do crazy acts, courageous things. You read people will run into a burning building, and they'll run in there. But why? Because in an instant they played the movie. In that moment, they were standing by their child's coffin, where the ashes were just literally ashes. And so in a moment they played that movie, and that's not what I want. I don't want to run into a burning building, but man, I'd much rather run in a burning building than to do that. And that gives you courage. That's where it comes from. So just showing you that. Now here's another thing. Remember in verse 6, God said to him, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Courage rises in us with conviction of what God has said. And when we know what God has said, see, God told him, "I'm giving you that land." And Joshua focused on, God's given us that land that he told us. We're going to divide that land as an inheritance. And then God told him, You keep focused on what I've said to you. It's what I told him. You meditate in it day and night. You just continue to focus on what I've said to you. Because conviction, when you're convinced that what God said to you is the truth, it will cause you to face great obstacles. It'll cause you to stand in the face of formidable enemies. It'll cause you, when all the hostility is just being, lashing out at you there, you can just rush right into that. You can just run right up to the enemy when you know what God has said. That's how David had the courage to do what he did with Goliath, because he knew what God had said. And when you know what God has said, so you need to know what God has said. And if you're not sure what God has said, you need to find out what God has said. Because you can't just muster it up. I've tried that. It doesn't work. I'm just going to make myself. No, it's not about making yourself do it. It's about having a conviction that comes from deep within you. You got to know what God said. How do you find out what God said? You go to the Word. And then you spend time in His presence where He'll talk to you. And He'll talk to you in a way that lines up with the Word. But if He gives you something to do, He's going to enable you to do it. And then finally, I'll just mention this. Any of y'all see the movie Selma? Y'all need to see that movie. I don't know what kind of trash y'all watch. That is quality programming. Anyway, I mean, I just think about that. I just think about Dr. King. That's what gave him the courage to do what he did. He had a conviction that God created all men equal. And by George, they should live equal. They should have equal opportunity. And that conviction, it gave him courage to face some really, hostile enemies. And then finally, and I'll just mention this to you as the last one, is when you know God's love for you, it gives you great courage. And we'll just close with me reading. I'm going to just read to you Romans 8, the last 8 verses of Romans 8. And if you need courage, you should just probably go ahead and get this tattooed on your forearm so you can just read it night and day, day and night. Romans, I'm going to read it from the New Living. It says this: "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who could ever be against us? Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for His own? No one, for God Himself has given us right standing with Himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love?" I'm telling you, courage rises when you read these words. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? In fact, no, He told us we were going to have this. Or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Courage. Or that's courage in those words right there. Courage. God has said it. He's with us. He loves us. That's what we need. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word. Hallelujah. Thank You that we get encouragement from Your Word, but we also can encourage each other. I pray, Father, all of us, whatever we're dealing with, that we'll find the courage that we need in the Word, in Your presence, that we'll find the courage we need to follow You and take the steps and to face what is ahead of us here, to face and go face the adversaries, some of us to deal with some things we put off with, some to step out in new ventures, whatever it might be, to go to the hospital and minister to the people, whatever it is that we've been holding back from, there's courage for us, and You, by Your Spirit, You make us able to do it. Thank You tonight. Hallelujah. Just talk to Him right there. If you need courage, just receive. Father, we just receive encouragement. We receive courage tonight from the Holy Spirit. Oh, I pray that we would all be strengthened, that we would be emboldened tonight in Jesus' name. There would be a boldness come upon us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank You for it. Glory to the name of the Lord. Thank You for it. Thank You, Jesus, for making us bold and courageous, for strengthening us. Hallelujah. We draw on the grace of God. It enables us. We draw from that supernatural power. It enables us. Hallelujah. And we thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night.